Okay. All right, so we're going to go to Isaiah 53. That is working, praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. We'll start. Father, we just thank you, dear God, for the day. I thank you for our Lord. I thank you for our Savior. Thank you for everything you do for us. I thank you for your mercy and grace. We ask, God, you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to give a thought today, and it's a rather an unusual maybe title or heading. But I want to talk about a thought for everyone here, conquerors and heavy laden. Conquerors and heavy laden, and I'll use Isaiah 53 to just show a thought here this morning on this, a devotional thought probably more so. But in Isaiah 53 verse 1, obviously it's the prophecy of Christ, and that was where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from in Acts 8 when Philip had joined the chariot, and he asked, well, who does this man talk about? And from that passage, Philip preached Jesus unto the Ethiopian there, and he got saved. But notice here it says, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Then he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And keep in mind, he was rejected of men with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And you can see the cross there. Surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought, and think about this, as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened not his mouth. And I won't read on further, but when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, is that when he was in that garden and there was not a moment where he said to the Father, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless thy will be, nevertheless thy will. And he drank that cup. And of course, when you think about him as that lamb, that sheep, he was, what happened was God put a burden upon the sorrows he already had and laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And if you think about the burden and the cup that Christ was in that garden, and you think about that laden, that burden, that thing that was laid upon him, and yet when you look at the Lord, he was heavy laden, would you agree? It was heavy laden. I mean, he took on the sins of the world. You know, as I said last week, he's a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He takes on that, but I want you to think, but he was a conqueror. He laid down his life, and yet he what? Took it again. So he laid down his life and he took it again. Now think about that. We have the burden upon us. Now, who here, and I don't need to ask you, but how often have you felt heavy laden? Burdened, amen? And of course, we all do. And we do live and understand that the world we live in is not his world, it's not his kingdom, but we are heavy laden. So let's pop over to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28 is the invitation that God gives us. And here is something to think about, that when you are heavy laden, what do you do with it? What do you do with your burdens? And notice what Christ says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want you to think for a moment, you realise that when we are burdened, when we are heavy laden, and it's okay to be that, you can be burdened, it's good, there's nothing wrong being heavy laden, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But think about this, when we are, take that as an opportunity, as an invitation to come unto him. So in other words, what I'm saying is that when I am heavy laden, when I'm burdened, how do I look at it? You know, what do you do with it? You know, how do you handle it? You know, you could run, we'll talk about that, but you could run numerous things. How do I take care of my burden? What do I do? But if I start to realize that, hang on, I am heavy laden and I have an invitation in the Bible, and the Bible says, come unto me, come unto him. Now, would you agree, isn't that not the hardest thing to do in the Bible? It is, because you've got to just stop everything you have and I'm coming to Christ. I'm just going to come to him. When you think of the Lord, the weight of the sin of the world was upon him. He was heavy laden. He was the Lamb of God without sin. He laid down his own life, and yet he took it again, making him the conqueror. And if you think about it, he conquered the world. He conquered the sin of the world. He conquered the darkness of this world. There is only one conqueror, and that was Jesus Christ. He was the only one who had power to lay down his own life and take it again. And when you start looking at the gospel and you start realizing the power of God and what Christ did for us, then we can start to look at the Lord in maybe a little different light, but we are burdened and we get laid down. So let's come over to Romans 8. I know most of us know these passages, so there's nothing new here, but I think it's a good devotion to think about. Because he says in Romans 8, and I'll pick it up in, say, verse 33. Let's pick it up in verse 32, actually, because I want you to think about something here. The Bible says, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things? Think about, God did not spare his son. Think about when God put the burden upon Christ, he didn't spare him. In fact, actually, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Isaiah says. But then he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now God justifies the believer. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hallelujah. He makes an intercession. He says to the Father, I understand the burden. I know what they're going through. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord, that when he went through that temptation, when Satan took him out to the wilderness, or he's led by the Spirit out in the wilderness there to be tempted, understand, Christ understood all the burdens. He experienced the lot. He experienced the temptation of Satan. Now, what is the temptation? The temptation that Satan was giving Christ was to do something with the burden. Bow down and worship me. Amen. And isn't it true? Someone said one day that, you know, Satan's cup is sweet to start with and it ends up bitter. God's cup is a little hard to begin with but ends up best. And that's a good thinking, you know, because what do people do with their burdens today? Worship Satan. Yeah, that's what they do. They don't take their burden to God. We find another way to do it. But we don't, maybe here, I'm not saying that we do that. But notice he says, but verse 35, here's the key. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What do you mean? Wasn't Jesus Christ despised of men? Don't ever forget that when you received Christ and you started to live for him, don't think men look upon us favourably as Christians. They don't, unless they find Christ themselves. Then he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth, that any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to take a little note here. Take a note when the Bible says, now you and I, we know what salvation is. We understand that you and I are in Jesus Christ. We know that. But I want you to look at that word. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Now think about that. More than conquerors. Now, conquering is the human spirit that you and I see daily. And if you want to use the illustration of seeing that right now, is when they've just had those, what was it called, the Invictus Games? And the word Invictus means it means the unconquerable or undefeated. It's all about conquering adversity and conquering the damage maybe they had. But you realize and understand it, that is the human spirit. Now the human spirit, that is the human spirit that conquers. But God says we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Why? Because you and I have the Spirit of God, which I'll come to. More than conquerors. So the world today is saying, you know, we're in that that thing. Where's that? I'll just find you Psalms for a moment while I just go there. But I think it's in Psalms. Why don't I write that down? In Psalms, I'll come to it later. But in Psalms, you know that God has no pleasure in the legs of man. God does not have pleasure in the human spirit. Because if we could conquer in the human spirit, then we could conquer sin, and there would be no reason for Jesus Christ to die on the cross and be rose again. Amen? That's what the Christian thing is. So we're more than conquerors, not just a human spirit. And of course, that's what they do. So today it's all about celebrating the human spirit. And I think it's very interesting. But they're celebrating the human spirit without God. So you and I, now we live in an age that has said no to God, we can conquer. And the human spirit now has been worshipped, it's been idolized, it's been lifted up. Then I, as a believer, I look in the Bible and the Bible says, hang on, we're more than conquerors. Now, I have played sport before, and I like doing all that stuff. But you know, that's that. Have a look with me to Psalm 61. So let's have a look at Psalm 61. So more than conquerors, not just conquerors. So Psalm 61, and David's speaking. And you know, I think it was Paul Stephen. He said to me, you know, how many Christians do you know today that are actually reading their Bibles and studying it? Have a think about that. And I was saying to Paul, I said, well, you know, and he said the same. I used to study my Bible before I was ever called to do anything. You're always studying your Bible. It is the Word of God. I mean, really, for us as a believer, the food, the Word, the Bible. It's the food. It's the thing we need. In this life, it's our light. It's that lamp. It's the very food for us as believers. And I understand that the world doesn't understand that. But have a look here in verse 1 of Psalm 61. David speaking here, and David said this: "Hear my cry, O God; attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. You know what David's saying? I'm burdened. I'm overwhelmed. I'm cast down. And he's saying to God, I'm going to, from the end of the earth, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. And I love what David says. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Don't lead me to my human spirit. Don't lead me to my own wisdom. Don't lead me to my own thinking. But lead me to Christ. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We need a rock that is higher than you and I. Would you agree? Amen. That's what we need. That's the spiritual thing about the Bible. And of course, then come over to 62. So come over to 62 verse 1. And have a look at this as a thought here for you this morning. Have a look what it says here. It says, truly my soul, once again David, waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. And as I said last week, we need to get back to a place and look at what only God can do. God can do it. Then verse 2, he is only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. So he has gone from being overwhelmed now to being led to that rock, say standing on that rock, now not being moved, knowing who God is, that God is his defense and so forth. Then he says, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall he be, and as a tottering fence. What David is saying here, they that trust in themselves, they that trust in the human spirit, he's saying that they are like a wall, like a bowing wall. Now, if you think of a wall, this was straight, and it's bowing over, it's leaning, isn't it? Now, either something is pushing on it, but if it's leaning, it's obviously going to fall. that's the thing. Now, remember in Romans 3:23, the Bible says that that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is independence of God. That's all sin is. Living independently of God. Falling short of the glory of God. Falling short of that. Then he says here, and a tottering fence. And I guess, when I was looking, I thought maybe it's a fence that just won't stand straight. I don't know, what is it, farmers? Look at that fence. It's either bowing, it's falling, it's leaning. It's leaning over, it's falling short. And when you get to the Word of God, what are you and I to do as Christians? What are we to build our life upon? Yeah, his foundation. That's what our life should be built upon, the foundation of Christ. That's what Paul was speaking about. Laying that foundation, I'm building my life on that foundation. That foundation for the believer is our rock. That's what we stand on. And I think Mark said, he was looking at that verse, take heed lest he fall. You're only going to fall if you're not standing on a firm foundation. Obviously the fence that's bowing is on the wrong foundation. If the fence is tottering, then there's something, it's not straight. It won't walk straight. Do you realize that, you know, when you and I get saved, there's one thing that you and I can do. We can walk for God, we can live straight. Now, that goes against what a lot of people don't like. But why not? I'm sick of leaning. I'm sick of being tottering. I'm sick and tired of being the double-minded man and, you know, unstable in all these ways and all those kind of crazy things that can happen to us. Let's come over to Matthew 7 and see what Jesus says about, you know, that rock. Now, you know, there's one thing that I really fear with believers today, the child of God. You realize the child of God has no idea of the Bible anymore, and I'm going to be honest with you, most of them are falling off the rock. Amen? And yesterday we were looking at the book of Joshua, and the book of Joshua is about conquest, and what was the children of Israel to do? They were to go into the land of rest that God had given them, and they were to conquer and they were to drive out the enemies of God. And here's the word, they were to drive out the heathen that were dwelling in that land. And you know something, as a church, we should never have heathen that get into this church who just want to act as a lost person and don't want to know anything about salvation. They don't want to know about the rock. Yeah, I know people love come to church, but let's get understand what this thing's about. It's about God and his salvation. And you know, when you look at what Christ says, so have a look in Matthew chapter 7, and this is, I know most of you know these verses, so they're not new to any of us, but I think it's worth revisiting. It's good for me to revisit them, because I know what the heavy laden is, I know what the burden is, I know what discouragement is, I understand all those things, and I know you guys know what those things are as well. And we do suffer. And I think, you know, far as a believer, we suffer more spiritually. We have an enemy called Satan who wants to discourage us in lots of different ways, and he does that. Now, so he said, let's have a look in verse 24 of 7. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, of course, that's the Bible, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So there's wisdom, and there's the rock. And of course, he's saying, well, build your house upon the rock. Then he says, and the rain descended and the floods came. One thing that I know, the floods will come. Our burdens will come. We live in this life where, as I said, the world's like a valley and the floods come. Australians should really get this. We live in a country that's dry one minute and it's flooding the next. and here's the spiritual thought. Don't worry, Christian, you're in a warfare. You are in a warfare. You're standing on that rock as Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's somebody who wants to get you, knock you right off your perch, amen? That's Satan. And he wants you to start looking like a wall that is bowed or a tottering fence. And you know what happens then? The mockers come and say, oh, well, what about your Christianity, Simon? Look at you now. You're leaning this way. You're falling that way. You know, where is your God that you said you trusted? Where's the God that you said saved you? Amen. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus Christ in your life, Moya? What's happened to you? And you know what Satan's doing? Oh, he loves it. He loves it. Because that's his whole plan, is to push us and to move us. Now, when that happens, understand, when that happens spiritually, that's where the burdens start coming from. It's not God putting burdens on us. It's Satan, world, causes these things. Then let's have a look. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, then he shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So what happened to the second house? It fell. It actually fell. Down it went. You right there, John? Okay. Do you remember Job, when you read Job? Who was the one who sent the wind and everything on Job's family? Satan did. You know, when you look at the floods here, it's not that God is sending the floods in this spiritual sense. It's Satan doing that, because he can. And he wants to knock us. He wants to do that. And you know what the Lord's saying? He's saying this. Well, hang on. Remember, I'm the rock. Stay on the rock. Understand that we are under attack. We're going to be pushed. And all Satan has to do is just get us for that 1 minute to lean off the rock. Now, in the Old Testament, when Israel went through the wilderness, and we looked at it yesterday in 1 Corinthians 10, many fell and they lusted after evil things, and understand that generation never ever got to go into God's rest. They never got there. You know, many Christians today have never ever passed over their Jordan. They've never got into the promised land. That's what Hebrews says, that Joshua would have given them rest. He's talking, Jesus would have given them rest. He's talking about Joshua in the Old Testament. Jesus is used twice. Joshua's name is used as Jesus twice in the New Testament, Acts 7 and in Hebrews. And what it is that you and I, as believers, we have a rest in God, and that's where our rest is. And what does that Bible say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Not peril, not nakedness, not anything can separate us from that love that's in Christ Jesus. What a firm foundation we have, but understand that there's always this pull to push us off that rock, and that's what happens. So we have a warning. Galatians 6:1-7 has that warning that the Bible says, if thy brother fall, with meekness go and talk to him. You know, we sometimes got to realize that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to look out for each other, because the whole idea of the Bible is saying, well, be careful, because we all can be led away astray, amen? And sometimes you need someone just to come and help us push us back a little bit on the rock. And the reason this happens, I believe, is because we don't know what to do with our burdens. We don't know what to do with when we're laden. Because it's those burdens, I think, and that heavy laden that are pushing us. And I think, therefore, what we need to do is come to Christ, take those burdens there. But there is a place beside God that we can come to, and that's Christ. In, I think it was about 91 or 93, it was Mike and I were travelling out up west up to Mount Isa there, and that's when it flooded. And I know you guys have seen the desert when it just comes to life. It's just something, isn't it? The Australian is beautiful. But we got stuck between the Corella River and the Concurry, between Mount Isa. And that day, that particular day, I had claimed Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So we have a strong tower that we can run into and is safe. Now that day, I claimed that verse, and then we had this, it was a Nissan four-wheel drive. It was a short wheelbase. And we were going over the Corella Creek. It was a creek, actually, but it would look like more like a river. And the water was coming up over the bonnet. And Jeremy's going, look, Dad, the water's coming up over the bonnet. I think we can see that, Jeremy. And the wheel, Mike was holding onto the steering wheel, and it couldn't hold onto it, and it straightened, just about broke his finger. But the car pulled us through. We came out on the other side. Now, that verse was what I claimed. When we went back to see where we had driven, we were literally inches away from a 6-foot drop-off that we could have been washed off. And get this, I wouldn't be here today. We would have been washed down the river. And Mike and I have always said, it's because I claim that verse, Proverbs 18:10, where the Bible says that the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous runneth it into it is safe. You know, that's a tremendous verse, just how the Lord can look after us if we just run to him. And he can do those things, especially for us. And there's that crossing of the river. And as I said today, we live in a world now that they're celebrating man's achievements. They're celebrating the human spirit. But understand that the human spirit is only conquering. But the Word of God says we're more than conquerors. Now, if you're more than a conqueror, that's Psalm 147 was the verse I was looking for. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh no pleasure in the legs of man. And you know, we just saw recently, and I like watching that, I like watching the horses, and there's that recently that horse that they're talking about, it's one, Winx 29, but it's a beautiful animal, eh? Amen, it's a beautiful, but you know what God says? I have no pleasure in the legs of man. I have no pleasure in the horse. Because what the Lord is saying, That's a conquering spirit, but in Jesus Christ we can be more than conquerors. And there was only one person that you find in the New Testament where God said, in whom I am well pleased, was dealing with Jesus Christ. There's nowhere in the New Testament that God was pleased with anyone except for his own son. Amen. And then when you and I get saved, we get in him, and then nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, because the only one who loves, the only one that God the Father loves is the Son. And then we're in him and he loves us because we're in him. Amen. And a thought. It's a really good thought. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And that's the difference of being more than conquerors in Christ. But if we, and Jesus never, and when you think about the Lord for a moment, and I think where we suffer, and I think this is our hardest thing, I never really take much notice of what people say they believe. I really don't. You know, and it's good to believe the Bible. Amen. You ought to. You ought to believe this is the Word of God. That's what God's given us. And it's good to do that. But truly, can you really say you don't really believe it until you really what? Do it. It's not what somebody says they believe, it's what they do with what they believe. And the will that Jesus displayed to the Father in the garden was his will. It's when our will gets in line with his will. He knows what I'm talking about. And have you ever noticed sometimes how we struggle with actually coming to Christ and submitting our will to him and then laying our burdens down and he can do those things. There's never worse to me in my mind is that when you start looking at the word conquering, have you ever seen someone and you have seen them walking, they don't walk straight any longer? They're bowing over. Their Christianity's gone. Their joy's gone. Their belief in God's gone. Their faith's gone. And they're bowing over and they're about to fall. They don't know how to walk straight. And you know when you know what happens? You start walking straight. You start getting right with God. And you know what happens? Well, you start getting on that pathway with the Lord. And remember what Jesus said. He said about... enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way to destruction. You know, remember he said that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go that way. You know what happens when we start to walk straight, we start to walk on that way, we start walking with Jesus Christ, and that's our Christian life, and you don't want to not do anything but that. Guess what? I'm not going to stop walking that way regardless of whether you want to walk that way or not. Would you agree with me? And you know the problem is, I think the biggest problem is today, is that we get around the wrong people. We get around the wrong heathen, we get around the wrong people, and would you agree with me that those people are the ones who have a tendency to what? Pull us down. Pull us off that rock. Who knows what I'm talking about? And then you get down where they are, and then you know what happens next? Now I've got to deal with your stupid burdens because you don't know how to get on the rock and take care of it yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Because they want to drag you down to their misery, to their no faith, their no resolve to live for Jesus Christ, their whatever it is that's going on in their mind, and they drag you down, and then they look at the Christian. You know what they say to you? Then they say, oh, well, you just don't care. I do care. Get on the rock and you'll find peace, love and joy in Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that what they do? It's true, isn't it? You just don't care, Simon. I do. get right with God and find him and find the rock that is higher than you, and find where you can take your burdens and lift him and do that. Now, isn't it amazing how the Lord brings things in our lives, and he brings burdens, he brings turmoils. He does it in this way, and even if Satan is doing it, he uses it. And then all of a sudden we're facing this problem of what's going on, and I think God uses that to start to, where we start to think, hang on, where am I standing? And I think sometimes the Lord comes knocking a bit and saying, hey, you're starting to bow a little bit. you're starting to look a bit like a tottering fence down there. You don't look like one of my children. You don't look like you're walking straight. And I think there's a thing there that we can all suffer. There's nothing worse than seeing a shipwreck, amen. And there's nothing worse if I am the shipwreck. But because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And I want you to think what Jesus said. And here's this is the sad bit. And few there be that find it. Few. That's the thing to remember. It's not a thing that I think a lot of people find. Because they don't find that, therefore we live in a more perilous time. Because we live in a perilous time where people are celebrating the human spirit. They're not celebrating the spirit of God and salvation. And I think what happens then, few there that be find it. If few there that be find it, then where the tough bit is, that makes the Christian life more lonely. But on the other hand, I said to the fellows yesterday, and I know like you guys here, if you've been saved for many years, you would never desire not to walk the other way, would you? Once you're on that pathway, you are going to, and you have to sometimes just make up your mind, I'm going to live for Christ regardless. I'm not going to get off this sinking because you want me to. And what happens today is most of the problems, remember Jesus said, he that cometh to me, if he hateth not, you know, he talks about relationships, father and that, not saying hate your children, but what he's saying is this. He's saying is that our relationship to him is number one. And as I said to Jan, it's true, isn't it, hun? If we live for Christ, it's the only light they're going to see. And I think that's the thing. We should never ever worry about that, because I know that God can use that, and that's really where I think the Christian soldier is it? Marching on to war? I think that's it. And that's just a devotional thought there on staying on the rock, and maybe a couple of thoughts. But when you read the Bible and you start looking at it like that, it's a real blessing. Let's close with our last hymn. Let's do 261. 261.